Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four, which means we get Andy and Bob back in here. And of course, as we always remember, to announce our winner of the Ask Ross segment, and that was Mike from Colorado. Ooh. And I think Mike was smart enough to throw in a food question along with his football question. So that always kind of tips the scale. You know that Ross will enjoy it. And it's going to carry over into this segment. Here was the question, gentlemen, and I'll start with you first, Andy. You order the pizza. What's your pizza topping?
Meat lovers. Sausage, hamburger, pepperoni. You can put bacon on there. I don't care.
Right answer, Andrew P. Right answer. You're getting back in Jim's good graces. Bob, it's tough to top that answer, but go ahead.
I'll get a little bit more exclusive. I'm probably going to go sausage.
Oh, that's a good call.
Sausage, it's a split decision over pepperoni, and you could talk me into ham, but I think my first choice would be sausage.
Very good answers by both of you. The nature of the question from Mike from Colorado was, Ross had pointed out how mushrooms do not belong on pizza.
Agree.
So with that in mind, I think we're all in agreement. You go with the meat. All right, fellas. Typically, we've been doing our series on 21 items for the 2021 season, but we're going to divert from that for a week, and we're going to talk about the 2018 recruiting class at Penn State. And what brought this up was a week ago we were talking about Zach Kuntz, who was a member of that class, and he hit the transfer portal, and it sparked a conversation internally among us about that class. And I wanted to get your take on it. We covered this class with Greg earlier in the week, but I wanted to get a little bit from you guys also. And Bob, I'll start with you. It was a highly ranked class, a lot of big recruits at the top of it, but at the very least, you got to call it a mixed bag of results out of that group.
Yeah, that might be kind. I was doing a little work just to... because we did talk a lot about it last week, and I think it's a pretty fascinating study about, you know, just kind of the unpredictability, even at the highest level of college recruiting. You know, I was looking at Lions 247. They had 23 kids in that class. Lions 247, I think, ranked them number six, I think, in the country, number two in the Big Ten. And I think other sites might have even had them a little bit higher. And I just remember the excitement around the 2018 class. And when you look at it, I looked at all the names. To me, guys, the thing that jumps out to me about Penn State's 2018 class, it was all or nothing. In other words, you had for the most part, you had some guys that were spectacular, but there wasn't very much of a middle ground. You also had a lot of guys not pan out. There was one prominent injury. There's still a current player, Juice Scruggs, who's coming back from an injury. But my list is, there were guys that are stars in that class. There were guys that were looking good in that class. There's a lot of guys still with something to prove. There were plenty of misses. There were a couple of prominent five-star washouts. And you know, I don't even know what to categorize. Will Levis. I just wrote left town for Will Levis. I still really think he could have helped this team. He moved on to another opportunity at Kentucky, but when you look at the whole class in its entirety, it certainly, I don't think, panned out the way that Penn State hoped it would be. And that's saying something, guys, because they have three guys that are going to go very high in the upcoming NFL draft.
That's true. There were some definite hits here. But Andy, you know, every class has hits and misses. And it's just a percentage. And let's put some names to those numbers, Bob. There were out of the 23 players, there were 15 of them were rated as either 4 or 5 stars. And Andy, there were 3 5 stars: Micah Parsons, Justin Shorter, Ricky Slade. And just looking at those three, I would say, Andy, is it correct to say 1 boom, 2 bust, and even the boom really only gave 2 seasons of effort?
Yeah, so I looked at, did they, as during their Penn State career when I was looking at them, and even at the top, like you're talking about, the 5-star guys, did they meet or exceed what would be reasonable expectations, right? So Micah Parsons has definitely exceeded expectations. Sure, you would have loved a third year in 2020, but nobody's going to fault him for doing what he did, right? If it had been a normal, if there wouldn't have been the pandemic and it would have been normal, Micah would have played. There's no doubt about that. He wasn't bailing like that. I mean, Ricky Slade's not even playing football anymore, right? Like, he washed out of Old Dominion, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So not only did he showed flashes of the natural talent that he had, and he played right away, but he never really, his attitude and his work ethic never really allowed him to exceed. And I just don't think Justin Shorter ever really has figured out how that you have to work hard in college to be better than anybody else. That's the just gosh honest truth. He's never realized anything close to his expectations. So I think they've had, like, half of it was maybe met expectations. Very few, precious few exceeded them, less than a handful. And there's some that still are to be decided, in my opinion. It's a very, very interesting case study of a very highly regarded class.
Bob, looking at this class and the overview, I remember at the time, you know, a top 10 finishing 6th, several 5-star players. I was excited about this class, really excited. Since then, the ranking of the recruiting class has gone from 6th to 12th to 15th to 22nd. Is this potentially a case where they had a window and perhaps that window is closing?
You know,
it's a good question.
You know, a lot of things aligned for the 2018 class to come together the way it was perceived. The best player in the class was in Penn State's backyard, Micah Parsons. They were able to keep a kid from Harrisburg, at home. The 2 other 5-stars were also right in Penn State's backyard. You know, Ricky Slade from Virginia, a fertile Penn State recruiting background. Justin Shorter, a New Jersey wideout. By the way, they might as well just forget. Just stop recruiting New Jersey wideouts. I don't know what else they need to see, but it's pretty well documented. If they're gonna take a 4 or 5-star New Jersey wideout, it might be a waste of time. But I think one of the reasons why they were able to assemble the class is a lot of the perceived elite talents were in the recruiting footprint, and that was kind of, they had established relationships there. That's not always the case where you find the 5-stars. And it's also true, though, that they have not been able to keep some really big name 5-stars in their recruiting footprint, home. You know, Ohio State was in on Micah Parsons, but then they kind of got out. So that's another reason why I think Penn State was able to land him. But, you know, I just wanted to, just to back up, you know, I don't want to make this all about the 5-stars. Pat Freiermuth. That's a great find by Penn State's, assistant coaches and James Franklin. He was actually, you know, Zach Kuntz was actually a more heralded recruit. And Pat Freiermuth, almost from, you know, the 3rd or 4th game of his true freshman season, just looked like he was the goods. Also, you know, it took a little while, but Rasheed Walker, you know, Jahan Dotson, and Jason Owe. Jason, we talk about Micah only playing at Penn State for really 2 years. But what did Penn State really get from Jason Owe?
Yeah, I mean, right.
About 6 games. He's just a precocious talent that took a little while, dealt with some injuries, but he left school early. And I guess you would count him as a success, but he finished, I think, his career at Penn State with about 2 sacks. And he's going to be a better player, you would think, on the NFL level. than the college level. The most fascinating thing to me is the guys, the four stars that are either still at Penn State or are no longer at Penn State. The guys that either have something left to prove, or the guys that just flat out didn't work out for Penn State. And that's, to me, as much as the good players, that's really the story of this class. Either guys still have something to prove, or they washed out.
There are, Bob, you point out, you know, there's several names that are still contributing. Juice Scruggs is still in there.
Right.
Jahan Dotson is still around. What I find fascinating, a little fact here, and I realize that this is a bit about the pandemic, Micah Parsons played his final game with Penn State in 2019. From that same recruiting class, you have Will Levis, who might still be active. He will be eligible in 2023. Okay?
Right.
4 years after Micah Parsons has played his last game at Penn State. So, Andy, you know, the point to that is, are we now reaching the point where you bring in a recruiting class and you think, well, maybe about 3 years down the road is where you see that recruiting class pay off. But what you're going to end up with is the really high-end guys, they're either in their last year or maybe they're going to be sitting out and moving on. The whole process has changed, and you better get a payoff from that recruiting class in the first year or two, Andy.
Yeah, it's for me, like the top 25 or 30% of every class in terms of your talent, you're looking at a three-year window. You got to get what you're going to get in a three-year window, and that's like the outer edges of it for the most part. For most of your high-end talent, you're looking at a three-year window, not a 4 or 5 year window. Down towards the middle and, you know, the lower third of the class, that's different. But at the top end these days, Jimmy, it's you better be thinking 3 years, and year one and year two really do matter.
It really does. And Andy, earlier on, you were saying about Micah Parsons, if it hadn't been for the pandemic, he would be back for his third year.
He would have played in 2020. Yeah,
I think you're right. But I'll tell you what, the trend is going where players aren't playing in the bowl games already. Players, you saw with Jason Oway, Pat Freiermuth, little nicked up. Well, it's not been a great season. We're not going to play those final couple games. I think we're going to reach the point where even that third year for some of those top-end guys, they are just going to sit that out and use it as a year to get ready for the NFL draft. Guys, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat. Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.